From coast to coast, all across the United States and Canada, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank serves as president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry that is here because truth matters. If you'd like to talk to Hank, then call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. My kids always tell me the same thing. I love you to infinity and beyond. But I'm on to them. It's actually a catchphrase of Buzz Lightyear. Of course, it could also serve as the motto of the company that created Buzz Lightyear. Pixar Animation Studios has had an unprecedented string of box office hits, films such as Finding Nemo and Up, that has elevated their success beyond imagination. Not only has Pixar won multiple Academy Awards, it also has caught the attention of Disney, which bought Pixar for $7.4 billion in stock. Robert Velarde wrote an article for the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. It's titled The Wisdom of Pixar. Again, the journal is a must-read magazine. It's CRI's award-winning magazine, a must-have tool in your apologetics arsenal. It's on the cutting edge in the battle for what is true and right. It probes today's religious movements, promotes critical thinking, provides reasons for Christian faith and ethics. And one of the great articles in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal is the subject of my discussion with Robert Velarde before we go to your questions. Robert joins me now on the broadcast. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Hank. Great to be on.
Good to have you on. From the perspectives of theology and apologetics, why in the world should you and I care about Pixar?
Well, Hank, I think the first reason is that Pixar has a tremendous influence, not only in our culture, but globally. You talk about millions and millions of viewers being exposed to Pixar films, of course, many of those being children and many adults as well. And I think we're also, as Christians, called to critique and interact with this kind of pop culture that surrounds us. And a third reason, I would say, is that Pixar offers some very unique elements of interest to us relating to concepts such as ethics and virtue, and particularly Christian virtue.
One of the points you make in the article is that we can either entrench against the culture, we can uncritically embrace the culture, or we can thoughtfully engage the culture. Unpack that for us.
Sure, yeah. I think those are some of the three common options, Hank, that you get among Christendom here, especially in the Western tradition. We tend to want to separate ourselves from culture, and of course we're called to be in the world but not of the world, but sometimes we take that to the extreme and we want to isolate ourselves from culture. Another option is to embrace it. I see a lot of Christians engaging in pop culture and just sort of uncritically saying this stuff is all great and just sort of celebrating it uncritically. And I think the option I offer is to engage culture intelligently and thoughtfully. And that, of course, involves a lot of different aspects that we bring from our Christian worldview. We might even apply techniques from hermeneutics or Bible interpretation to sort of exegete or understand things like film.
You also talk, Robert, about pre-evangelism, the handmaiden to evangelism, as a springboard or an opportunity to share the gospel. How can we do that using Pixar or these kinds of movies produced in the culture?
Well, a lot of times, Hank, I think the material we produce is very good material, but it expects people to be further along the road in their journey of faith than they are. And pre-evangelism, of course, seeks to take a few steps back and draw people into the story and the gospel message by using things, in this case, would be something like a touch point that we have in film. a very popular medium. Millions of people, of course, see these Pixar films. And to be able to use them, I think, to discuss some virtues and aspects of morality, and even get into things like natural law and where the source of morality is something that can be done if we can latch on to some of these great ideas in these movies.
Give me an idea from Toy Story with Buzz Lightyear. How does that apply to engaging the culture thoughtfully?
Well, Toy Story, of course, was the first computer-generated film ever released, feature film, back in 1995. And in that film, you've got this character, Buzz Lightyear, who thinks he's an actual space ranger. He doesn't know he's a toy. And that I relate in the article and also the book I wrote, The Wisdom of Pixar, to the topic of identity and how, as Christians, it's so important for us to know who we are in Christ in order to fulfill our purpose. And, you know, we can certainly use that in a pre-evangelism sense as well. You know, if someone doesn't really know what they're here for and what the meaning of their life is, how can they get by and be effective and be able to do what God has called them to do?
One of the things that I often talk about, Robert, on the broadcast is that we have lost as believers the ability to think biblically, and so postmodern believers are all too quickly transformed from being cultural change agents and initiators into cultural conformists and imitators. In other words, pop culture beckons and postmodern Christians take the bait. How do we guard against that?
Well, I think we need to be careful that we aren't just consumers. We're so caught up in being consumers, whether it's things like television or movies or other sources, and we just sort of sit back and absorb all this information. I think we need to sort of look at it more intelligently and start trying to pick things apart, not so much to take the fun out of things like Pixar movies, because they're great fun for kids and adults, but to be able to understand, I think, what are some of the positive messages underlying films like Toy Story or the recent one, Toy Story 3.
Maybe a little off topic, but in many churches on Sunday morning, at least somewhere in the sermon, you're going to get a Hollywood clip. What is the significance from your perspective of using Hollywood in that fashion in the midst of a sermon?
Well, you know, I think it can be done well. A lot of times it can be done just flippantly or not very well integrated. It's just considered something that's needed to capture people's attention. But I think as we learn to adapt as a church, part of doing that, I think, involves integrating these pop culture elements in a way that, first and foremost, does not sacrifice the truth of the Christian message. And if we can do that intelligently and really make a good connection between a film clip and something biblical or something that applies to the Christian life, I think that's a good thing. Of course, we do need to be careful about that we don't do that, abuse that ability, or do it in a way that really doesn't relate, that it's just kind of for show. There's a lot of entertainment going on in churches these days as opposed to actual discipleship.
Robert Velarde, his article, The Wisdom of Pixar, An Animated Look at Virtue. Thanks for the article and for your wisdom on the broadcast.
Thank you, Hank. And your listeners want to learn more about the book that the article is based on, they can visit thewisdomofpixar.com.
God bless you, Robert.
Thank you, Hank.
And, of course, we're talking about the Christian Research Journal. It's our award-winning magazine, a must-have tool in your apologetics arsenal. You can subscribe today on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 CRI. Remember, a one-year subscription, less than a one-month cable bill. You choose. This is a resource, in my view, that no Christian home should be without. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up, Bill. He's listening on KARI in Langley, British Columbia. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Hank.
How are you doing? I'm good, thank you.
What I want to deal with is this something that came up yesterday. You interviewed a guy or talked to a fellow that was asking you about the possibility of losing salvation, and you use your standby statement, people have a said faith but not a real faith, that kind of bypasses the main point there. If a person has a real faith, is it possible to fall from grace?
Well, no, I've answered that question many times. I don't think that you can lose your faith because, in my view, when you become a believer at that point, you have everlasting life, and that everlasting life does not start when you die, but rather it starts at the moment that you embrace the Savior that died in your stead.
Well, what about 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2?
What about it?
Where Paul talks about if you continue, and there's other expressions there in Paul's writings in Colossians and in 1 John. There, Paul says, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, again, my view on this is that this has to do with people that have a said faith as opposed to a real faith, and therefore, as Paul warns us, we should examine ourselves to see if indeed we are in the faith. I mean, if you look at the book of Hebrews, you have a classic example of Hebrews who were Jewish Christians or believers, at least in profession. And suddenly when the persecution became more and more intense, they decided to walk away from faith in Jesus Christ and adopt again their addiction to the law. I would say that in context, what you have here is professing believers and not possessing believers. So I think you have that throughout the scripture. But, you know, in reality, Bill, there are many Christians that disagree with my point of view. There are many Christians that believe that you can walk away from your faith. That is an in-house debate amongst Christians. And I have mentioned that many times on this broadcast. But my view is that if you look at 1 Corinthians 1:8, for example, just a few verses down, you have the promise that Christ will keep you strong to the end. He is the overcomer, and if you are in the overcomer, you will overcome.
What scripture was that?
Just a few verses down from the one you mentioned. I think you mentioned 1 Corinthians 1:2. I'm mentioning 1 Corinthians 1:8. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 1:15, you said?
1 Corinthians 15:2.
I'm sorry. I had a different passage, but I'm, again, mentioning 1 Corinthians 1:8.
Well, Hank, nobody deals with this thing that Robert Schenck in his book, The Life in the Sun, dealt with. I don't hear anybody saying anything that would be a defense or against it. And he's got a very important thesis that's based on the use of the present tense. And this scripture that I mentioned it's conditional. Salvation is conditional.
Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, though, Bill, is that mighty passage on resurrection where Paul is saying, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. And then he goes on to talk about what it means to believe in the resurrection, and even says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? So he's talking to people who are not convinced of the resurrection of the dead. And he is saying that if you are not convinced of the resurrection of the dead, then your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. You are still in your sin. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. So if only for this life you have believed in Christ, he says, you are to be pitied more than all men. So if you want to make the point against eternal security, I don't think 1 Corinthians 15 makes that particular point. But again, as I've said many times, this is an in-house debate. From my perspective, Ephesians provides the surety that you were marked in Jesus Christ with a seal. And that seal is the promised Holy Spirit. The promised Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing, says the text, our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please stay tuned.
It's not too much to say that truth is under siege in the postmodern world. So often, those who see truth as relative, subjective, or pragmatic are seen as tolerant and enlightened. Conversely, those who see truth as objective and grounded in the person and work of Jesus Christ are considered intolerant or even arrogant. As an organization, the Christian Research Institute will not compromise nor submit to political correctness, no matter the cost, because truth matters. We have the spiritual resources necessary for you to prevail in the battle for truth. CRI equips you with well-researched tools to identify truth from error, right from wrong. But we can't do this without your support. We need you to partner with us in prayer and with your financial gifts so together we can continue to impact the world with the transforming power that only Jesus Christ can offer. Will you stand with us today? Learn how to become a Bible Answer Man supporter by calling 888-7000-CRI or just go to our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. On one extreme, Muslims are portrayed as a mad monolith, on the other as peace-loving pacifists. In the dark days immediately following 9/11, one thing was painfully obvious. More often than not, we were being informed by rhetoric and emotional stereotypes rather than reason and empirical studies. Many of us know Muslims already in our neighborhood or workplace. And with an ever-increasing population of Muslims all over the world, we should be ready to go to them as Christ calls.
Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal brings together the best articles of the Christian Research Journal on Islam to equip you to think Christianly about Muslims in order to reach them for Christ. To order this unique hardbound book on Islam, dial 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or order online at equip.org. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Just as helmet lights assist miners to see into the depths of the earth to extract precious gold, there are now lights to help you mine the depths of God's Word. Continuing with the highly useful and memorable Hankronym flip chart series, Hank Hanegraaff introduces memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. A pocket-sized laminated flip chart based on the acronym LIGHTS, available from the Christian Research Institute as our way of saying thank you for your generous support. Request your copy today online at equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and again, Master, the principles of biblical interpretation in minutes. Remember them for a lifetime. The flip chart is laminated 4x6, will fit in a pocket or a purse, and more than that, it will aid you in reading the Bible for all it's worth. If God has spoken, the operative question becomes, what has God said? And that entails reading the Bible for all it's worth. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And always, you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 in the letter CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Cindy. She's listening on XM170 in Amherst, New Hampshire. Hi, Cindy.
Hello there, Hank. I wanted to thank you for making yourself available to help us know the truth of God's Word.
It's my privilege.
I've been confused by some teachings that I heard, and I was hoping you could help clarify that for me. I asked my Bible study teacher this question, can someone speak a curse over my life and have it affect my health or bring tragedy to my life? And the reason I asked is I had a personal experience where I was threatened with that by the person that was going to be speaking curses over my life, and I had other difficulties, which I was wondering, are these things related? This caused my Bible study teacher to introduce teachings by Larry Huck and Henry Malone and someone named Iko Horman to help us understand. And in fact, it confused me more. It made me feel as if, as a devout Christian, that I was available to be victimized by these things, and everything in my spirit told me that I was under the blood of Christ and that I was a believer and that I was a new child and a new person in Him. But I had no idea how to get those teachings in line with what I understood from my reading of the Word.
Yeah, this is a classic example of what I talked about at the opening of the show. Pop culture beckons and postmodern Christians take the bait, so we're getting our theology from Hollywood as opposed to getting our theology from the Holy Bible. If you look at the full armor of God, the emphasis is on the power of God to protect rather than the power of Satan to pillage. And unfortunately, all kinds of preachers today have gotten involved in exorcism schemes, which is to say, whatever the problem, you can blame the problem on demons. So if you have a problem with lust, you can say, well, I can go to an exorcism service and have the demon of lust exorcised with a wonderful side benefit. I am not responsible. Indwelling demons are mainly at fault, and getting rid of those demons is the key to psychological and moral redemption. In reality, This is something that comes from the culture, does not come from the canon of Scripture, nor is the mythology that people can curse you and put some kind of a hex on you. That's superstition. And again, we are not called to fall for superstition. Rather, we are called to put on the full armor of God. And in that way, we can stand vigilantly against the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Well, I had a difficult time finding verses and information in the New Testament about curses. And in the Old Testament, I wasn't sure at all how they applied personally when they were spoken of as curses from God for violating his law.
But again, here is the point. The point is that if you are following the law of God, you will be blessed. If you are not following the law of God, you will be cursed. I mean, that's a prevailing theme or norm in scriptures. Blessings for those who follow, cursings for those who rebel. But this is far different from some kind of a magical hex that the devil puts on you. What this is talking about is that God has given us principles and precepts by which to live. If we do that, we will succeed in life. That does not mean we will have health and wealth, but it means that we will have a relationship with our Redeemer that grows ever deeper and richer, such that the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. But the antidote in spiritual warfare is not some kind of an antidote against superstition, but it is in putting on the full armor of God. If you put on the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you don't, you're a guaranteed casualty.
Well, that really clarifies it for me, and I appreciate it very much to know that I don't have to be following recipes and instructions for casting things off of me.
No, we have to put on the full armor of God, and then we have to exercise the spiritual disciplines that Jesus Christ modeled during his earthly sojourn. I wrote about all of that in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect Us from Evil.
Thank you very much.
You got it, Cindy. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Marie next. She's listening in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Marie.
Hello, Hank. I enjoy your show tremendously. I thank you for your wisdom that God has blessed you with. I have a couple of friends. They always talk about listening to Joyce Myers and Benny Hinn and T.G. Jakes, and I heard over the years that you said those are false teachers. I would like to talk to my friends and tell them that they are false teachers. How can I go about it?
Well, one of the things that you might want to do is get a hold of my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century.
Okay.
Because in that book, I give ample evidence that they are communicating a gospel that is not a gospel at all. Joyce Meyer, for example, says there's no hope of anyone going to heaven unless they believe this truth that I am presenting. You cannot go to heaven unless you believe with all your heart that Jesus took your place in hell. And the notion here is that Jesus Christ went to hell and became the first born-again man. So what happens on the cross is Jesus Christ becomes a satanic being. Therefore, Jesus Christ does not finish the work on the cross. Rather, he has to finish the work of redemption in hell. With respect to Benny Hinn, there are all kinds of things that he is consistently teaching people about the Christian worldview that has little or nothing to do with the Christian worldview, including his prophecy where he says, I'm prophesying this, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is about to appear physically in some churches and some meetings, and to many of his people, for one reason, to tell you he's about to show up. Now, what's particularly noteworthy about that prophecy is that Hinn there is prophesying that Jesus, God's Son, is about to appear physically in meetings and that this supernatural event will take place in Kenya. In fact, he's on the Trinity Broadcasting Network saying Paul and Jan Crouch, founders of TBN are going to Nairobi, Kenya, and they may well come back with footage of Jesus on the platform. Now, one of the things I note in Christianity in Crisis 21st Century is scarcely weeks before Hinn's prophecy, a Florida newspaper drew attention to New Age guru Benjamin Krem's prediction that the second coming of Christ had taken place in Kenya. And so they reported that in a photograph utilized by Krem, a dark-skinned, heavily bearded man in a white headdress and a white robe seemed to float above a crowd of worshipers at a healing service in Nairobi. And they not only noted the mass healings that allegedly took place, but they reported that even though Christians present firmly held convictions that this really happened, the Christians present firmly held notions that Jesus Christ appeared to them on that day. But what does Benjamin Krem hold? He holds that this was Christ Maitreya, the fifth and final incarnation of Buddha.
Oh my.
So here what you have is Hinn basically copying Benjamin Krem. And the reality is we are now many, many years after his prophecy, almost 10 years, a decade, and his prophecy remains unfulfilled. And as the Apostle Peter wrote 2,000 years ago, Christ must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything. So I here say very clearly that you have Hinn making up stories as he goes along, but that's not the worst of it.
Yeah.
He is communicating theology that is completely inconsistent with a biblical worldview. And the same could be said for a host of others that can be categorized as Word of Faith teachers. And again, I write about them in Christianity Crisis 21st Century because it is indeed a crisis.
Yes.
These people are dressed up in Christian guise and in Christian garb, and they're communicating stuff that comes right out of the world of the occult, unfortunately, at the altars of churches.
Okay, thank you, Hank, so much. It comes down to basically knowing your theology.
And that is the key point. The
yes.
key point is exactly what you have just said. That is hitting the nail. It's a bullseye. You need to become so familiar, and this is true of everyone listening in, including myself, we need to become so familiar with the real McCoy, with essential Christian doctrine, that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, we know it instantaneously.
Yes. Thank you, Hank. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you very much as well. Appreciate your call. Want to mention that we have a flip chart. It's a doctrines flip chart. And that flip chart is extraordinarily helpful in helping you remember essential Christian doctrine. You can master the main and plain things of the historic Christian faith in minutes. Remember them for a lifetime. It's a memorable guide to doctrines that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults, the essential Christian doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. Again, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute for your gift. I'll send you memorable keys to essential Christian doctrine. You can order online at equip.org. Or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, or just write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Right back in just a few moments with more of your questions.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity when you call 888-7000-CRI. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. Order on our secure website at www.equip.org. We'll return to the program in just a few moments. To a child, the darkness of night can be confusing and even frightening. But as soon as the light is turned on, all the shadows vanish and the child sees the truth that he is in the comfort of his own room and that there's nothing to be afraid of. So too, the Bible can be a confusing and frightening place if we do not know how to read it. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff has created memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. God has spoken in the pages of Scripture, and the Lights pocket-sized flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. The Christian Research Institute is supported only by your generous donations. And to say thank you for your gifts, Hank would like to send you a copy of the Lights flip chart when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Or you can order online at equip.org.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
Is the Antichrist alive today? Will the temple be rebuilt? Are we living in the tribulation? What is the mark of the beast? Is Armageddon just around the corner? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the secret to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today. Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in Scripture interpretation. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it on our website at equip.org.
To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. In our age of information overload, Christians must learn to discern between good and evil, truth and falsity. Hank Hanegraaff's acronym DISCERN is a memorable tool that can help believers discern for themselves in the face of sharp disagreement on critical issues in the church. As social media explodes around the globe, ideas of friendship and community are rapidly changing. Yet for all its possibilities, the virtual world can't replace the significance of embodied interactions. Douglas Groteis helps us understand what place social media should have in our lives. Plus, articles on the wisdom of Pixar, the biblical concept of family, and much more. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or by calling one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Well, let's return now to the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Also in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, my article titled Discern, in an age of information overload, Christians must learn to discern between good and evil, right and wrong, truth and falsity. The need for discernment becomes particularly pressing in face of sharp disagreement on crucial issues among leading Christian apologists. A case in point concerns debate over the Christian Research Journal's recent publication of CRI's in-depth reevaluation of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Using the acronym DISCERN, I sort out the matter at hand and codify principles formatted as a memorable tool through which believers like you can, in general, separate wheat from chaff, heat from light for yourself. In other words, I put a tool in your hands so that you can exercise discernment. In essence, this is what the ministry of the Christian Research Institute is. It is a discernment ministry. Again, the article Discern in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, you can order online, equip.org. When you write Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you speak to our resource consultants, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. Dana in California. Hi.
Hi, hi, Hank.
How are you?
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, beautiful. I'm in Southern California. I used to listen to your program when you were out here, but you're not out here, so I just communicate with CRI through the mail and maybe over the telephone I can talk to you guys.
You can also get us an XM170 and you can listen to us live streaming on the web. You can also listen to archived broadcasts at equip.org.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Until we're back on in Southern California, at least in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, I plan on donating to CRI, so maybe you can get back on in Southern California.
Thank you, Dana.
My question is, I read this book called A Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary Kay Baxter, and it's really a quite detailed description of the horrors of hell, and she says that she's a Christian woman who Jesus Christ took her to hell for 30 nights. It might not have been 30 consecutive nights, but that's why she has this very complete description of that place. Now, my question would be, when I read something like that, should I believe it? I mean, like, for instance, I read that book, 23 Minutes in Hell by Bill Wise. It's kind of a similar type situation where Jesus Christ took him to hell for 23 minutes. And, like, when I read these books, should I believe this or should
no,
I
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Oh.
No, no. You know, Baxter claims that hell is a place deep within the earth, that it's shaped like a human being.
Yes, sir.
Snakes and rats dwell there. Worms slither through ignited corpses. This is the figment of a fertile imagination. This is not what hell is, number one. Number two, hell is not at present, which is to say that there is a time when death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. That's hell. And that's something that happens at the time that Jesus Christ returns. Remember, Jesus himself said, "Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned." This is something yet future. Now, there's an earnest of hell that Jesus Christ describes in Luke chapter 16, and he gives us anthropomorphic information. In other words, information that humans can attain to or relate to. So he describes hell as a large place. But this is not hell indeed. It is an earnest or a foretaste of hell, and therefore it is called Hades, which is the Greek equivalent to Sheol.
Who impersonated Jesus Christ with this lady, Mary Kay Baxter, to prompt her to write this book? I mean, I can't believe that a good Christian lady would sit around for 30 nights, you know, making up lies to write this book.
Well, I can't judge anybody's motives. That's one thing that is not my province. That is the province of the Holy Spirit. The only thing you and I can do is test what she's saying in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good, which is what I was attempting to do. I was attempting to say that if you look at Luke chapter 16, Jesus Christ describes Hades, which is the Greek equivalent of Sheol. In Hebrew, Sheol was the abode of the dead. Jesus talks about the abode of the dead because what happens when you die is your body goes back to the ground, but absent from the body, you still continue to exist either in the presence of God, which Jesus Christ describes as Abraham's bosom or paradise, or in torment. So this is what people experience until the time that Jesus Christ returns. And then Jesus Christ condemns people eternally because that is what they want, or they have an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ for all eternity. The notion of what hell will be like is something that is described scripturally by various metaphors. For example, fire. It is also described by burning sulfur or blackest darkness forever, but those are all metaphors for a ghastly reality, that ghastly reality being living apart from the goodness and the grace of God for all eternity.
Yeah, I'm dying to ask you this question.
Sure.
Is hell going to be forever for the unsaved, or do you believe in a nihilist? But,
no,
know,
no. Hell, the Bible's explicit about this.
And destroy him, and he won't be tormented forever.
The Bible's explicit about this. The wicked will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Now, if destruction is temporary, how can it be said to be everlasting? The plain reading of shut out from the presence of the Lord implies continued existence. And that is not an isolated text that you find in Thessalonians, but it is something that you find throughout Scripture. Jesus, in fact, arguably spoke more about the torment of hell than he did about the reality of heaven, which is to say, Jesus was continually warning you, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Or if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. He warned people continually about the horrors of life apart from the goodness, grace of God for all eternity.
Amen to that. But who impersonated Jesus Christ to Bill Weiss? And then who impersonated Jesus Christ to Mary Kay Baxter? So these people were sincere enough to write these books?
Well, again, I cannot answer that question. As I said before, Dana, I cannot judge anybody's heart or motives. I can only test what they say in light of Scripture. Maybe they had vivid imaginations. I don't really know how to answer that question. What I can say is that there are real substantive problems with the stories told by both Mary Kay Baxter and Weiss.
What is that again?
There are real substantive problems with the stories that they tell.
Oh, theological problems.
Well, not just theological, but practical problems. And we have actually uncloaked or unveiled that, I think, in an issue of the Christian Research Journal. But at any rate, we have an article here that we can send you. I don't know where the article comes from because I don't recall from the top of my head, but we can send that out to you.
Okay, I'll call your people and request it.
Yeah, be happy to get the information out to you.
Beautiful. Okay, thank you, and I'm going to continue to support your CRI, okay?
Thank you so much, Dana. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. Next up, Nellie, Austin, Texas. Hi, Nellie.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. I'm from Leonardtown, Maryland. He got my last name mixed up, I guess. I'm interested in, I'm reading your book, The Third Day, and you should tell that guy talking about heaven to read that because of the things that you brought up in there about how people created the way Jesus died and rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm interested in that Now, I don't believe in it. I just wanted to hear your comment after reading your book, The Third Day, about the miracle of tears falling on the cheeks of Mary at Fatima.
Yeah.
It happened several years ago, and I was talking to a Catholic brother that lives here at the senior apartments last night, and he's talking about millions there. Millions went to see it, and that's proof that it's real.
Yeah, and I don't think so. I think it could certainly be a demonically inspired deception, and we should aware of that. There's all kinds of possibilities in terms of what that phenomena actually constitutes. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is the apparitions are inextricably woven together with Catholic teachings about Mary, teachings that do not fly in face of Scripture. In other words, if you test the teaching in light of Scripture, the teaching does not hold up.
Well, you know what? I have been talking to him, and we do have a fairly friendly conversation, but I keep telling him it's not my words, it's the words of the Bible. But Mr. Hanegraaff, they ingrain these people so strongly that they won't even talk to you about it. He does talk to me, but like the other day, I started to give him copies that my pastor hands out about the Sunday school lesson. One was on salvation, one was on love, some others, favorite chapters in the Bible is what he's teaching on right now. I had 10 sheets. And he said, oh, I don't have time to read that. I got too much other to read.
Well, you know, it's often said you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. That is,
I have kind of decided that.
But you know what? You can put some salt in the oats, and that might help. But your speech seasoned with salt, as I'm sure would be true in your case, still can have a great impact. He's willing to talk. You're talking about eternal verities. You mentioned my book, The Third Day, that does deal with the cornerstone of the Christian faith. That's the main and the plain thing. We want to be right when it comes to the main and the plain thing, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is the Bible, as you've correctly said, that is the final court of arbitration. It's not tradition and the Bible, it's tradition tested in light of Scripture. Going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. So you can start calling me right now for the next hour. I'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call right now, 888-ASK-HANK.
This has been the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. To find us on the internet, just log on to www.equip.org, where you'll find a wealth of information and resources to equip and support you in the faith. To talk to one of those resource consultants, you can call toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Film, the literature of our modern culture, so often portrays ideas contrary to Christianity. However, Pixar Animation Studios has consistently produced films that are not only blockbuster hits, but also reflect classical Christian values. Robert Velarde takes an in-depth look at the philosophy and worldview embedded in these remarkable films. And in our age of information overload, Christians must learn to discern between truth and falsity. Hank Hanegraaff's acronym DISCERN is a memorable tool that can help believers discern for themselves in the face of sharp disagreement among leaders in the church. Plus, articles on understanding social media, the biblical concept of family, and more. Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist.
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
Order this DVD and the entire Lee Strobel 3-disc film collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.